Well, today is hard to believe, but week four of our Fruits of the Spirit series. So hopefully your cup is filled with fruit by the end of this series. And the title of this one is called Rotten or Ripe. Now, I saw Laura tentatively work her way into the theater this morning because last week, I think she was worried that I was going to bring a tattoo artist into church this Sunday. I had to calm her fears and let her know, no, we're not going to tie you down. We're not going to give you a Fruit of the Spirit tattoo. Did anyone, you get a tattoo this week, anyone? You put those fruits on your back, bicep, ankle? Man. All right, we'll keep trying. Keep working on it. Here we are in Galatians chapter 5. Fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we have worked our way through the first six fruits, which leaves us today with the final triad, the final three, faithfulness, gentleness, and everyone's favorite, self-control. Let's talk a little bit about this word faithfulness. It's the Greek word pistis. Can we all say pistis? Right now, this word conveys the idea of trust, the idea of confidence. Sometimes pistis can be translated as belief, but an intellectual belief is not quite what this word is describing. This is an action word. This is trust by doing something, not by just simply thinking something, but this is actively putting your trust in something. So for instance, you're all sitting on chairs right now. All right, so Ted isn't sitting in a chair, but for all the rest of us sitting in chairs, you all put your trust in that chair that you're sitting in this morning, did you not? When you sat down on it, you trusted that the chair was going to hold you, that there was something solid there, that you wouldn't simply collapse to the floor. So you practice pistis. You put your faith in the chair that you are sitting in. Another way to describe this, Reese and Kit, now she goes to school as well. I drop Reese off in the morning at kindergarten. He goes into his building. And whenever Steph and I drop him off at school, or if we drop Kit off at school, for any other parents, when you drop your kids off at school, you're enacting pistis. What you're doing is you're saying that you believe that this place that you are sending your children, the place where we are dropping them off, it's a safe place. And we trust the staff at this school to keep them safe. Now, if you were just to think this in your head, but then if you drove up to the school and you saw the school, you saw the staff, saw the teachers and said, not going to do this, that's not pistis. So just believing it is not the depth of what this word is talking about. You need to actually put that faith into action. Pistis, faithfulness, is an action word. There is something that you must do to live out the faith that is there in your head. Just believing something is not what faithfulness is all about. Now, this word faithfulness, it has to do with our trust in God, but it also has to do with our trust in each other. A little earlier in Galatians, here's Paul, Galatians 5, 6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is," what counts? "And expressing itself through what?" So the way in which you love each other, the way in which you love your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, you're showing a deep trust in other people. A trust that they will receive the love. And we all know sometimes that just doesn't happen. But yet sometimes we still give love because we hope. We want to trust. We want to believe that love that we give will be received. So it's trust. When we talk about faithfulness, it's trust in God, yes, but it's also trust in each other, which is why community is such an important part of what we do here at Awaken. We want to build that trust so that when you go through a storm in life, And those storms come, sometimes a bit too frequently. When those storms come, we all want people in life that we can rely on. People that are there for us. People that we can open our hearts to. We can tell some of the things that we're struggling with. The things that are happening in life that just seem unbearable. And we want to have faith. We want to enact faith that other people will be able to walk with us through all that happens in life. So when we talk about this fruit of faithfulness, it's trust in God, that God's presence will be with us, that God's love and grace and mercy will chase us to the ends of the earth. But this fruit also manifests itself in the ways in which we love each other. How you love each other, it's how you love God. You can't just love God, but then not love each other. The way in which you show your love for God is how you show your love for humanity as well. So again, all these fruits are closely tied together. It's not just about faith, but it's also about love at the very same time. Let's look at this second word. Gentleness. It looks like I'm from the South. I don't know what I was thinking. Must have been a little too early in the morning, a little sleep deprived. Praudis. Let me hear you say that. Okay, so whenever we talk about the fruits from now on, we're just going to simply drop into the Greek. Is that okay? No more gentleness, but it's going to be praoutis. Now, this word, I love this word. This word, it can be defined as gentle strength or power with reserve. And like all the fruits, I know you're automatically looking at WWE like, what in the world is he going to talk about here? But first, we have to talk about divine origin. Because like all of the fruits, praoutis, gentleness, find its origin in God. This isn't a strength that we can manufacture on our own, but rather this is a gift of the Spirit. Now, with this word describes a balance. Think about the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek. It doesn't mean blessed are those who are doormats, which is too often how that word is described. Oh, you're a Christian? Well, you're supposed to let everyone walk all over you because that's what Jesus would do. No. That's not what meekness is talking about. Meekness is talking about you have this strength, this inner strength within you. You're not going to let others walk all over you, but you're also not going to pound everyone into submission. So the two extremes might be you're a doormat, everyone walks all over you, or you live out WWE in your home and in your life, which is the World Wrestling Entertainment Company. I found out, actually, because for me growing up, it was WWF. Anyone else? 2002, it changed its name officially to the WWE. There's your fact of the day. You don't let everyone just pounce all over you and you just wilt away to nothing. But at the same time, you don't simply just, if things aren't going your way, if someone doesn't believe in you or listening to you, you don't just start swinging, throw them to the ground, backbreaker, throw them against the ring. No. What you do is you enact this reserved strength. My kids will often ask, hey, can we go in the other room and wrestle for a bit? Now, if me and Reese are wrestling, who do you think's going to win? Everyone knows Reese would win. But in Reese's graciousness, he practices gentleness, praoutis. He could pound me to the ground, right? But he doesn't do that. Instead, he enacts a certain amount of strength so that he doesn't get hurt, that I don't get hurt, right? Like if he starts swinging for my head, okay, I'm going to do something to restrain him so that that doesn't happen, so it doesn't clock me in the face, so I don't get a black eye. Who gave you that black eye? My 5-year-old son. Okay, yeah, right. But rather you enact this, there's this balance that you play when you're wrestling where we make sure no one gets hurt, but I also don't just let him start swinging at me so that I walk away with a limp. There's this balance. When we talk about gentleness, praoutis, this is what we are describing. This is how the fruit can be described. You have this inner strength. Sure, there's people who are weaker than you. There's people who you could just step on them, kick them to the curb. But you don't do that because you have respect for every person that you encounter. Then there's other people, and they're the bullies in life. And they come after you at times. They're unhinged. There's some wound deep, deep in their soul, and they start coming after you because they're just vomiting over everyone. And you don't simply take it. You stand your ground, but you don't pay them back with the same words, the same strength that they're coming at you with. Gentleness is learning to live with a balance of how to show love and grace, how to be patient with each other, how to not just squash people, but to have this inner strength that is there, that is present, but that is reserved so that everyone can experience love coming from you. Now let's look at this third word. It's the word self-control, enkratia. You want to say it? Right. This word means mastery or self-restraint. And again, like all the fruits that we have been looking at, this is a fruit that proceeds out from within oneself. This inner self-control doesn't come from outside of ourselves, but rather it comes from within. And this is a gift of the Spirit. Not, well, if we work really, really hard, we can discipline ourselves to live out the fruits in everyday life. But rather, this self-control is a gift that is given by God. It's a strength that is more than you on your own power can manufacture. How does it begin? Humility, humbleness, open hands. I need some help here. I've been trying on my own, and I just can't do it. I need a little help. I need a little strength, strength that me on my own, I simply don't have. And I believe, I would argue, that self-control is the fruit that anchors all the other fruits. We've looked at 9 fruits. This is the 9th fruit, and I believe that this is the fruit that anchors all of them. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering, okay, well, why do I need self-control? Maybe some of you don't have to even ask that question. The fruits of the Spirit shows up at the end of Galatians, and it shows up in a larger passage that we actually haven't even spoken of yet. So I want to give you the larger passage in which the fruits of the Spirit show up in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. How do you follow God? What's the law? One simple command. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you follow God? Love. Love. You love each other. You love yourself. It's all connected together. Here's the one command. You love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out. Watch out. Or you will be destroyed by each other. Have you ever seen this to be true in life? You ever experienced this yourself? There's a lack of love. There's an absence of love. And we're just on this giant rock spinning around the universe, devouring each other, attacking each other. I did this series because it's about how we show up in the world. It's about following a particular way of living, the way of Jesus. Because I believe that the way of Jesus is a way which heals this world, is a way in which peace is brought to this earth. I believe the fruits of the Spirit, these 9 qualities of life that we have looked at over the past couple of weeks, if we could embody these, If we could live these out in our lives, I truly do believe the world would look a whole lot different. What happens when there's an absence of these fruit in our lives or in the world? Right here. You'll end up biting and devouring each other. You will destroy each other. The wholeness that God longs for in your life, in the life of your family, in this world, it begins by embodying these fruits that are gifts, that begin by emptying ourselves so we can receive all the Spirit desires to birth within us. Paul continues, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." You ever experienced this in life? Yeah, all the time. All the time. You ever have that thought, oh, I blew it again. This is the person I wanted to be. This is the person that I believe myself to be. It feels like I've fallen short of that one too many times. You ever lay in bed at night with those thoughts just kind of rolling around in your head? Ugh. I meant to be this person. I meant to respond in this way. And yet this conflict, this thing that's happening within me, that the self-control that I lack, the lack of the fruit, it showed up again. And I find myself doing that which I do not want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're all here because we desire the kingdom, the life that Jesus promises, the life of abundance, of goodness, the life of love. When we lack these fruits, it's as if we are not living within the kingdom that is present in the here and now. By living the fruit, we find ourselves right in the midst of the kingdom that Jesus promised is here in this life, available to you now, not sometime in the future. The disciples looked around, when is this kingdom going to come? And Jesus is like, it's here. It's within you. It's already present. May you open your eyes to the love that is all around you, the love that you are already swimming in. And then we get to the fruits as he ends, which contrasts these other ways of living. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We talked about this phrase, you do not do what you want. You ever feel that pull? You ever feel that inner conflict? Where someone does something to you, they say something, and you know you want to be a person of forgiveness because you truly believe that's the best way to live. But yet there's something within you that wants to get even. And so you say the thing you know is going to inflict harm upon them. Then you walk away and you kind of feel good for a minute. You're like, yeah, I told them. I put them in their place. But then later on that night, you're like, eh, probably wasn't the best thing to say. You like me? You ever experienced this in life before? Or what about this one? There's a way of living where we live with open hands, a life of generosity, where we give to those who are in need, those who aren't as blessed as we ourselves are, but yet there's this pull within us, well, if I could just have a little bit more, if I could keep more for myself, well, then I'll be happier. Then life will be better. And so we kind of close our hands to the needs all around us. And then later on, you're thinking about that, and there's that conversation you have in your head, like, maybe I should have paid for their lunch. Maybe I should have been a little more generous here. I should have opened my hand. I didn't really need this. I could have given this away instead of acquired more for myself. There's this constant conflict within us, this battle within. Now, our ancient ancestors picked up on this battle because this is a primal battle that has existed from the very beginning of humanity. Beginning of Genesis, all the way back in the beginning of the Bible. So we're talking thousands of years ago. This is Genesis 4. Then the Lord said to Cain, we know a bit about the Cain and Abel story. Cain was a bit jealous of his brother Abel. And so the Lord said, sin is crouching at your door. I absolutely love, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You know where this verse is actually described in like the best detail I have, like better than any commentary, East of Eden by John Steinbeck. If you have not read that book, do yourself, go home and read East of Eden, because this verse is what that entire book is all about, this battle within, this conflict that we have within ourselves. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule. Another way to translate rule, have mastery. Does this not sound like self-control? Sin is crouching. It's like a tiger at your door. It's waiting to pounce on you. It's waiting to control you. It's waiting to take you away from the fruits, the love, and the goodness that God desires to birth within your soul. You must master it. Self-control. You must rely on that strength, that inner strength that only the Spirit can gift you with. And only in that way will your life produce all the fruits that Paul is talking about. The imagery here, absolutely brilliant. I just finished Jordan Peterson's latest book, and here's what Jordan Peterson has to say about this pull. We all see within ourselves the emergence of good intentions and the repeated instructions to ourselves to act accordingly. Yet we note distressingly often that we leave undone what we know we should do, and we do instead what we should not. There is something in all of us that works in counterposition to our voluntarily expressed desires. Is this not describing something that our ancestors picked up on thousands of years ago? To realize this is uncanny. That realization is the greatest contribution of the psychoanalyst, who insisted above all, perhaps, that we were inhabited by spirits that were beyond not only our control, but even our conscious knowledge. We're all aware that within us a battle rages, a battle to be the person that we desired to be, the person that we truly want to be, the person that God has created us to be, a person who exemplifies all the fruits of the Spirit that we've looked at. But yet, this conflict rages within, and we fall short of that desire at times. We find ourselves lacking, moving in a different direction. The question that we have been asking from the beginning of this series is, how do we allow these fruits to flow through us? So I want to give you a practice. Each week I've given you a different practice to allow all these fruits to flow through us. Here's the practice for us this week. You inspect the fruit of your life. What fruit is your life producing? If you were to sit in silence with a notebook all by yourself, and if you were to be brutally honest with yourself for a moment, what fruit is your life producing? Does it look like this list? If we were to be honest with ourselves, is our life producing this type of fruit? Or does our fruit sometimes feel a bit more like that picture of the fruit that you do not want to pick at the grocery store? Whenever you go grocery shopping, you like me, where you pick through the peaches, the plums, you kind of feel for the soft spots. And if you find a soft spot on an apple or a peach, you're like, nope, not going to take that one because it's rotten. And so you look for the fruit that looks like this. The fruit of your life, does it look like this? Or is our life producing fruit that is ripe? Jesus in Matthew, he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." He goes on a little later, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them." Not everything that sets itself up as Christian is truly Christian. You can use the label, but it doesn't matter unless the fruit that is being produced is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits that Jesus talks about, the fruits that Jesus embodied. Sometimes things don't have a label, but they're way more Christian than the things that are labeled as Christian. I would argue that the fruit that Jesus is talking about here, how will you recognize followers of Jesus? By their life, by what their life produces. A life of love and joy, all the fruits that we've been looking at. Here's the Carl Jung quote I promised you. "You are what you do, not what you say you'll do." Is that not a simple paraphrase of what Jesus just said? Is this not about pistis as well? You can say you believe certain things, but if you don't live them out, if you don't embody them with your life, well, that's not faith. That's not trust in God. You're simply believing things. All the furniture might be arranged a certain way in your head, and you think, all right. But it's about how you embody the beliefs that are there in your head. So you inspect the fruit of your life. Awareness of what the fruit of your life is producing. And what this does, it brings us right back to the beginning. Because just like you're going grocery shopping and you wouldn't take the bad fruit, the rotten fruit home, you throw that fruit out. So all the bad fruit in your life, you throw it out. You get rid of it. Whatever in your life might be rotten, may you leave it behind. May you throw it away so that there is room within your soul for the good. Which brings us right back to the beginning. We throw out the bad. We empty that cup so we have room to receive. So I thought, well, what's the proper way to end this series? It's the fruits of the Spirit cycle. Look at that graphic I made. I'm pretty proud of myself. I drew this one out by hand. I'm like, ooh, that looks pretty bad. Let me see if I can do it on the computer. And I made this beautiful image for us this morning. Here we are at the top this week. You throw out the bad fruit. In other words, you empty your cup, which is exactly where we have started. And then you practice gratitude. You look for the good. You look for the blessings. Because that creates love, joy, and peace in your life. And then you trust, as we talked about last week, you trust that the fruits of the Spirit are your true nature. Does anyone remember that phrase from last week? What's the Latin phrase? Joe gets the bonus points. By endurance, we conquer. This is what's true about us. We're people who endure. We are people who possess love, gentleness, goodness, deep within our soul. We trust that that is what is most true about us. And then we inspect the fruit that our lives are producing. Whatever's rotten, we throw it away so we can make room for more of the good. More of all that love that the Spirit desires to birth within us. So that's the fruits of the Spirit. That's 9 fruits. And that's how we'll end our series. So may you take this cycle. May you live it out. May you continue to practice all that we've spoken about. May you keep looking for the good in life. May you be grateful for all the blessings that have come your way. And I believe that there will be room in your heart as you do so for more of the life that you truly desire.